Well, it happened again. Another pot shop got hit by thieves, this time in Redmond at Hashtag Cannabis. It happened yesterday morning about 4 a.m. And of course, like all the others seem to be, this was a stolen car driven through the storefront, and then a group of thieves went out, stole what they could, and then escaped. Joining me on the line is the owner of the shop, Logan Bowers. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Usually, you and I, when you're on, we talk about political issues, and perhaps we will at the end of this, but what happened? How did you find out that this occurred to begin with? When did you learn?
Yeah, well, so our security alarm goes straight to our phone, so I'm laying in bed at 3:59 in the morning, and I hear the beep on my phone, and I'm like, oh boy, not again.
Not again. This is the eighth time, right?
Something like that, at least for Redmond. It's a pretty common occurrence that somebody gets a quote-unquote bright idea, thinks they can get something, break some glass, you know, get there in the middle of the night, sweep it up.
Yeah, although it's a recent phenomenon due to, I think you and I will agree on this, at least in part, the law that says we're not going to pursue anyone for a nonviolent crime. But the recent phenomenon is driving stolen Hyundais or Kias into the storefronts of these vehicles and oftentimes getting away in another stolen car. I mean, did you think something like this would eventually happen to you in Redmond?
You know, I read about the Kia boys, as they're called, and I kind of was like, oh, that seems like it's going to be a problem. But I didn't quite expect it, just because at this point we've got it dialed in that, like, they can't really get anything of value. Mm-hmm. So they end up, it really shows that, like, it's the dumbest criminals turning out with the stolen Kias because it's just so easy.
Yeah, and they're oftentimes juveniles. I can't tell from the surveillance footage, which we posted on Twitter. It kind of looks like they're younger, but is there any information available yet at this point?
No, I mean, I haven't heard anything specific from the police, and your guess is as good as mine. But yeah. I do think they look pretty young in the footage. One of them jumps the counter, and certainly at my age, I'm probably not that suave at that move.
What did they take?
They take, like, some handfuls of display product off the shelf. I mean, there's no money. Everything's locked up, so they get a few handfuls of product, and that's about it. But they do five figures of damage in the process.
Well, exactly. I mean, the damage to your store is way more significant than whatever product they potentially stole.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, easily. Probably 50 times more cost in fixing the store than in the value of the stuff they took.
And how does this now go with insurance? I don't even know if you're insured the traditional way, just because it's a marijuana shop, and I know that a lot of companies might just stay away.
Yeah, it's people kind of think that, like, oh, insurance just pays for this, like, money kind of falling out of the sky. But if you file an insurance claim and they pay out for you, then they just raise your premiums because they're mm-hmm. like, wow, well, that, you know, they ought to make it back. Insurance companies always make money, so. So you just pay higher premiums and you pay it all back, over the next couple of years. So for us, as a cannabis shop, there are only two insurance carriers that work with us, and we have to have insurance by state law. So unless it's really catastrophic, we're just paying it out of pocket.
Yeah. And this is so, how many shops do you have at this point?
We have three. We have one in Seattle, this one in Redmond, and then we just recently opened one in Everett.
We'll push the Everett one aside for a moment, but in Seattle, have you had recent issues there at all?
So, yes, we were robbed at gunpoint in Seattle earlier this year, which was very unfortunate. Fortunately, all of the staff was safe and no one was mm-hmm. hurt, but it's certainly a very scary occurrence. And it was a very, very common last year. But this year, they hit five shops in one night, and we were one of them.
Let's talk about the politics behind this, mostly because you and I get along, even though we disagree on, I think, 98% of everything. Logan Bowers is a former Seattle City Council candidate, and that's how he and I got to know each other. Are you placing blame the way I am on the vehicular pursuit bill for this?
I think, to be honest, I think there's something there. I think there is definitely some issues where, you know, the state and the city don't have the kind of right rules of engagement. And one of the things that's really important to me, and I don't know exactly how this translates, how this should translate into policy, is like, it's really important that we nab criminals when they're doing something low stakes, because otherwise they're going to go on and do something high stakes and then someone's going to die.
Exactly. And I think this idea that we just want to throw people into jail is just, that's not the case, unless they're particularly violent. I don't think anyone has an appetite for throwing kids into jail, but this idea that we're just not going to punish and we'll put you in some restorative justice program that we know doesn't work because it's run by police abolitionists. It's just like, I don't know who we're serving.
Yeah. There's definitely some issues there to work out. You and I probably disagree on like how exactly we would tweak those programs, but I certainly agree that there needs to be some work done there, because it's definitely not working out. And one of the things we see, with the armed robbery, it's actually kind of a ring of people, and it's a set of adults that are having juveniles commit the crime because they know that the consequences are lower, and that they're much less likely to be prosecuted, and that creates this kind of like moral hazard where these, you know, they're putting these kids into extra dangerous situations and putting our staff in dangerous situations by not having a criminal justice system that responds appropriately.
Where do you think the disconnect is? Because to your point, yeah, you and I probably disagree on some of the key details on how we would address this better within a restorative justice framework, right? I generally am okay with this as a concept, so long as there's still some consequences and follow-up and oversight. But you're not arguing with me. I'm not in charge. Conservatives aren't in charge. This is an issue that, it's Democrats and progressives that seem to be battling this out. You've got on the one side of the left, very far to left, basically taking that abolitionist position. And then you've got the more moderates saying, jail sometimes is necessary, not always, but we got to do something. So where is that disconnect, and why is there still such infighting on this issue, do you think?
Yeah, I feel as a small business owner a little bit politically homeless in this respect, because, when we have a staff, something that's really important is, if you want your staff to perform well, you have to pay them well, you have to train them well, but you also have to hold them accountable. And I think there's a challenge. We have a faction in politics that just wants to pay this, not have any staff, and then wonder why there's problems. And, as far as policing goes, and then we have, but the faction that funds them isn't always so motivated for accountability and kind of realistic responsibilities. And so we end up kind of in this netherland where we have a kind of unaccountable, kind of dysfunctional organization, because leadership can't figure out, what they're going to do. And so, we kind of have no plan in the city where I'd like to see a coherent plan.
Yeah, just something. Even if it's a bad plan, at least we can critique it and then make it into a good plan. You know what I mean? Like, I keep hearing, at least in the city of Seattle, Bruce Harrell constantly says, oh, my office, don't worry, we're working on a plan. We're going to have that plan to you real quickly. And then a few weeks goes by and says, oh, we're hard at work at this plan. And then he hopes you basically forget, and then he doesn't do anything. Are you in a position, because you find yourself sort of in that political tension there, and as a candidate, I remember there was some tension there as well. Everyone kind of agreed with you on the left as far as housing issues and transportation, but because you owned a pot shop, they're like, well, this is a white guy who owns a pot shop, and the war on drugs was hard against black people, and thus he's an enemy. It was always kind of weird, that dynamic. But how do you identify politically when it comes to Seattle politics?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I always thought I was on the left as a growing up, but I guess I kind of end up just being like a normie Democrat liberal, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of common sense. I don't know. It's hard to say in these times, like what the proper label is. I think at the end of the day, the small business owners that we all interact with in our lives are usually the ones to feel the problems first when it comes to law and order, just because we're the ones with either on the front lines ourselves or with staff on the front lines, and we're feeling that pretty directly. So, you know, we're definitely the ones that it kind of raised the alarm first.
Do you get any sense that we're headed in the right direction?
You know, it's hard to tell if there's a coherent, you know, if we're moving in the right direction. I will say last year, the armed robbery rate was just terrible in the whole region. We were seeing 3 or 4 cannabis shops a night being robbed at gunpoint. And eventually, and it took months and months and months for law enforcement to kind of take the problem seriously. But they eventually did, and things quieted down. And so so I am grateful for that. But also my eyebrow raises, because my understanding is they have to refer cases to the FBI to get solid prosecutions. And so they have to push the cases out of state, which was actually difficult because the FBI, you know, cannabis is illegal federally still. So, you know, I see glimmers, and I hope that's a systemic improvement, but it could also just be that we have some hardworking folks in our city government that are able to do the right thing from time to time.
Well, again, I always put the invitation out there. You'll have to change some of your views, but there's always a place within the Republican Party, because we're the big tent party, unlike the progressives right now, who don't want you there. We'll take you. Even if you vote with us 50% of the time, you know, that's more than what other Democrats are doing, so I'll take it.
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully we can both agree on some common sense policies
totally.
For our city.
So much of this stuff is, if we're being totally honest, it's not political at all. It becomes political because it ends up getting impacted by politics. But at the end of the day, I think most people look at this and they just say, "Yeah, this what's happening right now is clearly wrong. There needs to be a criminal a law enforcement aspect to this problem. It doesn't have to be the only one, but they have to be involved." Logan Bowers from hashtag Cannabis in Redmond, but also your shops in Seattle and now in Everett. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Jason.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it.
You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. When we come back, it's time for a quick hit.